Good to see everybody this Lord's Day. God has been good to bless us with an opportunity to worship Him in spirit and truth. The lesson this morning I've selected is about baptism. I really loved this picture that I found the other day and seeing the zeal and the enthusiasm in this young man's heart as he was baptized into the Lord. We want to ask the question, why would I want to be baptized? It's a question today we hope to receive answers from the Bible that will satisfy the question. God who made all things also made the decision, or the decision to make baptism important. There may be a lot of things we do in life, but not many are truly that important. Life-changing important. Who you marry, that's life-changing important. What church you worship with, life-changing important. Well, being baptized is in that category. And so it's a question we don't approach lightly. And if we do, then we're simply not ready to be baptized. If it has not kept you up at night and filled your days with thought about it, then you're just simply not ready to be baptized. Well, how do you know when you're ready? Well, perhaps some of the answers given to the question might help satisfy that question. The first reason why would I want to be baptized is to be forgiven of all my sins. In Acts chapter 2, there in verse 38, when Peter had preached the gospel, people's hearts were pricked to respond, and they asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Or your version might say, for the forgiveness of sins. So why would I want to be baptized? Well, I want to have my sins forgiven. In Colossians chapter 2, there in verses 11 and following, there you see Paul speak to the church at Colossae, referring back to the time that they were converted, that they were baptized into Christ, and to remind them what that meant. And in Colossians 2, verse 11, he says, "In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." What is this circumcision of Christ? The next verse explains, "Buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He's made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And when did that happen? Paul's reminding them that took place when they were circumcised by Christ. That is a circumcision made without hands. He didn't actually physically touch you. But when you were buried with Him in baptism, He cut away the body of sins of the flesh. And He forgave you all your trespasses. See, sin is like the ugliest thing you can imagine on the most beautiful thing you can imagine. It's just not supposed to be there. It's out of place. You want it removed. That's how sin is like on the soul. The precious soul made by God. And He seeks to sever it or to cut it from the soul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there you see Paul speak about some of the transgressions that the Corinthian Christians were forgiven of. In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." He says these individuals in these sins, they cannot go to heaven when they die. And then he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you. But You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. They were baptized when he says they were washed. That's what he's referring to. They were forgiven of those sins. Ananias told Paul at his conversion, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." So sin, God seeks to remove from us through the waters of baptism. Our sin cannot be removed unless it's removed by Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus himself said in John 13:8, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now there he was speaking about washing the disciples' feet. But no doubt, his words were meant to have a deeper meaning. You and I would have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. As one of our songs says, "Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb." And it's in the waters of baptism that we contact the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. His blood was shed at his death. And the Bible makes it very clear, we're baptized into his death. There we contact his blood. So Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit, they are spotless. And the only way we can be one with him is if we're made spotless by his forgiveness. It is the only way. He takes away all my sins at baptism. And that's one reason why I'd want to be baptized. But another reason is to become a Christian. To become a Christian. In Acts 11:26, the disciples at Antioch were first called Christians there at Antioch. 1 Peter 4:16, "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed in this matter." The Bible refers to those that have been baptized as Christians. Christian means to be a follower of Christ. Christ was baptized, not to be forgiven of any sins, but to show us the way, to lead by example. He said to fulfill all righteousness. Then following that baptism is when he began all his public work, his teaching, his ministry. He started his earthly work for God after he was baptized. And so after you are baptized, you start your work for Christ. You start your daily living as Christ would have you to live each and every day. It means reading his Bible, reading the Word, looking forward to church services or gospel meetings, right? Looking to spread the good news of Jesus Christ that saved your soul and will save other people's souls as well. You might say, "Well, a lot of those things I did before I was a Christian." Yes. But now it's not your parents trying to twist your arm. It's not you having to be told to do your Bible lesson. It's your choice. Because you want to be a servant of Christ. A Christian. Again, as another song says, "I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord." In Hebrews, the 8th chapter, Hebrews chapter 8, there you see that the Lord had in mind this kind of citizen in His kingdom. Under the Old Testament, one was born into a kingdom by fleshly birth. And they were taught as a child, "Do you know who you are? You're a Jew. You're a part of God's kingdom, the Israelite kingdom." They didn't make a choice in that. They were born into that. But he says in the new kingdom, that is the church of Christ, one understands and chooses to be a part of that. To be a Christian, to be a worker for the Lord. And he says it this way in Hebrews 8:11, "None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.' For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." They made a choice. to know God, to be a part of God's kingdom. And he says in verse 12, "For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I'll remember no more." So again, speaking back to the first point of having my sins remembered no more by God, washed away. And then in verse 10, he says, "For this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people." He's saying that it's an inward choice and a day-by-day decision that I'm going to be one of the persons of God's kingdom because I've changed my thinking. I'm changing from the inside out. I know Him. I want to be in His kingdom. And I know what He's done for me. So I want to grow in my service to Him as a Christian. And being a Christian is a journey. We learn, we correct, we grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes to other Christians in their journey in serving the Lord and reminds them of their commitment they made at becoming a Christian, being baptized. And he says in Ephesians 4, verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Or you might put in there the world. "I'm not going to walk like the rest of the world anymore. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." So as a Christian, we're learning Christ and how it is that we ought to be in Christ. Verse 21, "If indeed you've heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." So I'm giving off the old life, putting on the new life, and then he goes on to get specific about some of that. Verse 25, "Therefore, put away lying." Why? Because that was what the old man did. "Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now remember I said Christian means to be like Christ, to be a follower of Christ. Notice chapter 5, 1. "Therefore be imitators of God, dear children." See that? Why do we do all that? Because we're wanting to be like God, like Christ. See that? So it's important to remember that Christian, while it is a name, it's also a description of a life. I want to be baptized because I want the Christian life. Else, why else be baptized? Why seek to be forgiven of my sins only to go back to sin? No, we're saying I want a whole new life. I want the Christian life. I don't want to be dishonest anymore, as Paul says here. I don't want to be rash anymore. I don't want to be unkind anymore, again, as Paul says here. I don't want to be hateful and bitter anymore, as we just read. I want the Christian life. I want to be like Christ. I want to be honest, patient, kind, loving, and forgiving. The fruits of the Spirit will grow in me. And unless I abide in the vine, I can do nothing. We recognize that that's what Jesus said. And I need Jesus in my life to help me accomplish those things. And so this is another reason why I would want to be baptized. To live the Christian life. But another reason is to be in fellowship with God. and joint participation in spiritual work with God, to know He's there with me as I am seeking to do His will. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, notice how it describes this beautiful fellowship in verse 1. "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So He spoke about a life that we lived prior to Christ, right? A sinful life, much like the world. We give that life up in exchange for another. And the Bible tells us because He loved us, He raised us up to be with Christ. Again, this is referencing back to our conversion, back to being baptized. That's what Paul is doing here. Buried with Christ, raised with Christ. And notice then the terms he uses three times. Made us alive together, raised up together, to sit together. There's the fellowship that we now have in the Lord. And he goes on to describe it as if like we're a part of his home. Verse 19, "Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Everyone appreciates the benefit and love of a home, a family to call your own, to be a part of. And God is saying, now that we're together, you're in my home. We're together in this. Verse 22, "In whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." I love how John put it in 1 John chapter 3, there verse 1, "Behold what manner of love that the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." You're His child. He's my Father. We're like living in a home together in fellowship. And John 14, notice how Jesus put it over here in verse 23. John 14:23, we recognize it's a conditional partnership that we need to abide in His will and His word if we want to live in the home together, right? Just like it should ought to be in our homes as well with our children. Hey, you're gonna use drugs and drink? Well, you can go somewhere else. These are the family rules of our home. You got to abide by them if you want to live in this home. Well, we learn that from our loving Father. In John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to Him, "If anyone loves Me, he'll keep My word. And My Father will love him, and we will come to Him and make our home with Him." See, it's conditioned upon if we love Him and keep His word. And He says, if we do that, then we're in joint participation together. We're in the same home together. We're working together. We're dwelling together. We have a relationship together. That's what we're talking about here when we talk about a fellowship with God. To have a loving relationship with God, a close relationship with God. One of the ways that's manifest is through prayer. He wants to hear from His child every day. I want to hear from my children every day. I mean, well, that's one of the things that they come home from school asking, well, what happened today? What did you talk about? What did you do? You know, I want to talk with them. I want to hear from them. Well, God wants to hear from us. 1 Peter 5:7 says to cast our cares upon Him. Well, He cares for you. In Philippians chapter 4, You know, children come to their parents for with worries, and so do we as children of God come to our Father with our worries. And we can trust in Him and share with Him. And our Father tells us as His children, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I bring my worries to Him. He brings His peace to me. It's because we have a relationship, a fellowship together. Further, as a Christian, God desires to commune with you weekly through the Lord's Supper. It's called a communion. That feast reminds us what brought us together. And that was His Son. In Matthew 26, and I won't belabor this point because I know we studied it last week, but in Matthew 26, did you notice Jesus said here in verse 29, Matthew 26:29, Jesus said to His disciples, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Isn't that amazing to think? He was speaking about the church that would be established on the day of Pentecost, and they would partake of the Lord's Supper. And He said, when that happens, even though I'm not on earth, right? He wasn't physically there. He says, I'm drinking it with you. We're in fellowship. We're communing. That's humbling. You know, that will make you focus on the supper that you just take. If you can imagine and thinking of Christ there with you and you supping together. We have a beautiful song. It says, He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread. Come drink the cup. Come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, He meets us here in the breaking of the bread. See, all of that's speaking about our fellowship that's reserved alone for the Christian, the one that's been baptized into Christ. I want to have that close relationship with Christ. And it's anticipation of what is to come with Christ. As that beautiful song goes on to say, we'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread. Come drink the cup. Come share the Lord. That last stanza segues into my last point this morning. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Why would I want to be baptized? Well, because I want to be with God in heaven forever. Yes, part of it is that I want to escape eternal torment. And that is indeed a real motivating factor. And it's often one that inspires us at our younger age, especially those that are best motivated by fears. And we know that the Bible and the Lord, others had used that. Flee from the wrath of come. Right? To come. That's what they said. But I believe a greater reason is not because what we'll escape, because what we will gain. That I can, because I'm baptized, begin my journey and walk with God and have a home reserved for me in heaven. It was Jesus Himself who said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves us. And so I'd be a fool to say that baptism does not. And yet so many in this religious world do. Oh, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Just believe. And yet the Bible says, I must. Why would I want to be baptized? Well, I want to be with God forever in heaven. You see, our fellowship with God now is indeed great, as we just pictured about being in His family. But it's not even a small taste of what is to come. The goal is to actually be with Him bodily and presently in heaven. Now, it's really hard to picture that, because we all know what we see and experience now, right? But as a baby in a womb, warm and nourished, has everything that it needs, and is cared for in the dark place inside his mother, cannot imagine the light and beauty of the world he will soon enter. So too, we of the world to come. And as a baby must be born to enter our world, we must be born again to enter the world to come. Baptism is that first step. Born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 3, unless you are converted like these little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Conversion is of the utmost importance if I want to enter the kingdom of heaven. And conversion takes place at baptism. In John chapter 3, there, verse 5, Jesus speaking about the concept of being born again. Nicodemus confused it with being born. No, no, Nicodemus, you'd already been born. Everybody's already been born that can hear me. But I speak to you about being born again. And he says in John 3, there, verse 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, then I need to be born again. How do I do that? Verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I must be born of water and also the Spirit. I need to be renewed. Like I said, I've got to be willing to make all those decisions, those choices, to shed off the old man, the old woman, and to be willing to live the new man in Christ Jesus. So I'm born again on the inside and born of water, baptized. You know, water is used by God as a fresh start over or new beginning many times in Scripture. God did not want us to miss that point. Think about the floodwaters of Noah. God reset the world, didn't He? He started over with water. Think about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, leaving the old life of bondage in Egypt, and then the waters closing behind, drowning the Egyptian army. And then they start their new life with God as their Israelite nation. Think about the Israelites finally, after the wander in the wilderness, crossing the River Jordan to enter into what? The Promised Land. A new beginning with God in a new place. You know, even in a symbolic way, before the priest could ever enter the temple to serve God, there first was what they called a humongous bronze sea, where there they had to wash all of themselves before they could enter the temple. John the Baptist came and baptized people unto the remission of sins. Jesus, before He began His ministry, was baptized. The church began at Pentecost after they were baptized. So water has been God's choice to begin something new for a long, long time. The start of a journey to begin the new life. Romans chapter 6, Romans 6 there in verse 4. Notice how Paul words it here. Romans 6, 4. He says, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life." The newness of life comes after we're baptized. So baptism is the beginning because it puts us into Christ. Baptized into Christ. You know, there's a number of passages that say that what we should do to Christ, right? To believe in Christ. Repent of our sins. But there's only thing that puts us into Christ is being baptized into Him. And Jesus says in John chapter 10, 7 that He is the door, the entryway. John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except," how? "Through me." So I want to be baptized into Christ that I might go through Christ, through the door. And one day get to be where He is and the Father is and the Spirit is in heaven. You see, in heaven we get to be where we were meant to be, with God forever, to worship Him, to be with all those that loved Him, with all those heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We get to join them too. In Revelation 22, notice there verses 1 through 6. Revelation 22, 1 through 6. Verse 1, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life." Again, isn't it interesting how water makes its appearance again? This new beginning in a new place with God. And there's water, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of its tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." They. That's all the ransom and the redeemed. All of us together who have entered the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of our sins and stayed faithful and true to Him, well, we get to be together in heaven. And it says forever and ever. That just seems too good to be true. And so the next words say, verse 6, these words are faithful and true. Believe it. God said it, so you can believe it. These words are faithful and true. So these are reasons why I would want to be baptized. Now this next thought is not on our chart, but it needs to be said. Why would I want to be baptized? Perhaps because my first baptism was not according to Scripture. Maybe your baptism sounds like it was from Scripture, but upon reflection you realize you were taught it was not necessary to be saved. Perhaps you were told you'd be baptized at a baptismal service a couple of weeks or months into the future, because those performing such don't believe you need it. Else why would they delay? And what if you died before that baptismal service came? See, they didn't teach you Bible baptism. So now you should be baptized with the baptism of Scripture, knowing that you needed to be forgiven of all your sins, to become a Christian, to be in fellowship with God, and to be saved, that you might go to heaven. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right, any more than you can be taught wrong and fly an airplane right. Any more than you can be taught wrong all semester at school and then ace all your tests 100%. See, right teaching precedes right baptism. And now you know why you ought to be baptized. The Bible says, and Peter, with many other words, testified, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those that gladly received his word were baptized. Acts 2, 40 and 41. Will you, dear friend, gladly receive the word and be baptized? All things are ready. We stand ready and willing to assist in whatever way we can. Won't you make your way to the front while together we stand and sing? Affection's been nailed to the cross. Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and